We're talking about the journey to the cross. And God's got a plan for each one of you. You may have come in here looking for something, and Jesus is here to meet you today. I want you to know this is not just an accident that you are here. You're here on purpose. As we get closer and closer to the cross in our message series, we find that the atmosphere heats up around Jesus. Tension is higher. Jesus' arrest is getting closer. The chief priests and the Pharisees are waiting for the right moment to arrest Jesus. Then Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, and all bedlam breaks loose. I want you to know what Jesus did was not just a nice, sweet miracle, but it turned that area upside down. Everybody's talking about it. The scribes and Pharisees, they can't escape it. That's John chapter 11. I want us to take a look at the last verse of John chapter 11. Meanwhile, the leading priests and Pharisees had publicly ordered that anyone seeing Jesus must report it immediately. So they could what? Arrest him. So I want you to know that's the atmosphere that Jesus is operating in. If anybody sees him, report it. We're going to arrest him. Let's move to chapter 12, verse number 1. 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, "That perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor." Not that he cared for the poor. He was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. Jesus replied, "Leave her alone." Everybody say, "Leave her alone." "She did this in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Let's pray. Father, I pray in the next few moments you'll bless these words. Thank you for the word of God that always speaks to us. It encourages us. It challenges us. It brings correction. It brings to our mind the things that we need to change. Lord, as we just dig into this word just a few moments, I pray that there would somebody be here encouraged to just pour their love upon you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We find here that a dinner was made to honor Jesus. A way to say thank you to Jesus for raising Lazarus from the dead. If Jesus raises you from the dead, you should say thank you. You should make a meal for Jesus. I mean, you should have an honor for Jesus just like they're doing. You should praise him, spend time with him. How many has Jesus blessed you in this life? Let me see your hand. Amen. I praise God. I'm asking for some participation. That's good. That's good. You see, these people did not care about the report that they were to report Jesus. They had a banquet that was public to honor him. A public banquet that people could come and see Jesus. You know, sometimes you got to ignore what the scribes and Pharisees say. They say, report it to us, ignore that, and just honor Jesus. There may come a time in this country when they say it's illegal to fill in the blank. It's illegal to pray. It's illegal to bow your head. It's illegal. I don't know, church, but we've got to be ready. Look at somebody and say, be ready. We've got to be ready to stand up for Jesus. I love it. Martha served. That was her love language. She loved taking care of people in this way. We need some Marthas in the church as well. Amen? How many here would say that you're a Martha? Let me see your hand. You love serving and you love cooking. All right. Thank you. Thank you. We got a few. Amen. How many love to sit at the table and be served? Let me see your hands. Okay. I see some more hands. Praise God. And Lazarus was eating at the table with Jesus. What a conversation that must have been, Pastor Marco. I mean, Lazarus was raised from the dead, and Jesus was there talking with him. Can you imagine that conversation? Not too many people have been raised from the dead like this, and not too many people had been to paradise. Lazarus had been dead how many days? 4 days. That's a long time to explore paradise. I wonder if he wanted to come back. Of course, when Jesus speaks, you listen. But that conversation, I mean, Jesus, of course, created heaven, and he was in heaven before he came to earth. I wonder if Jesus said, hey, Lazarus, did you see this? Did you see that? Did you explore any of the paradise? That must be just a great conversation. It's kind of like the guys that walked on the moon's conversation. How many people can they really have that conversation with? Just a few? Only they know about that feeling. The Bible then says, Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance. I want to bring out to you 3 things about this moment that I think needs our attention. Number 1, her worship was costly. Her worship was costly. The essence of nard was a fragrant ointment imported from the mountains of Nard. Excuse me, the mountains of India. Sounds like a C.S. Lewis book, Mountains of Nard. It was very expensive. Mary was so grateful for what Jesus had done for her, had done for Lazarus, her brother, that she was willing to spend her expensive perfume on Jesus. Her worship was costly. It cost her money. We find out in the story that this could have been sold for a year's wages. Think about what you make in 1 year. It is tax time. You had to fill out your taxes. Just think, if you gave all of that to Jesus. Wow. She was willing to use her expensive perfume on Jesus. I don't know what came over her. I don't know what happened. But somehow she was so overcome with the goodness of Jesus that she was willing to break this out of her bedroom and to open it up and to begin to use it on Jesus' feet. How many here love feet? How many can't stand feet? Let me see your hands. Anybody here? Okay, thank you. How many can't stand looking at feet, but let alone touching feet? How many know what I'm talking about? But she took this beautiful, expensive perfume, and she began to massage and to worship Jesus by wiping his feet. It was customary back in those days for when you went into a house for somebody to wash your feet and then to dry them with a towel. Because your feet were in sandals and it was dusty, it was dirty. And many times that's what they would do. But Mary took it a step further. It cost her personal sacrifice. She wiped his feet dried with her hair. Now, I couldn't do that. That would be a little weird, okay? She used her hair. She was willing to let her hair become filled with the feet of Jesus. She was willing to let her hair have the sweet-smelling perfume fragrance. It not only cost her money or her personal sacrifice, it cost her reputation. She was willing to do this. She didn't care what people thought. She didn't care what her sister thought. Her sister had already complained a while back, "Jesus, don't you make my sister come and help me?" And Jesus said, "She has chose what's best." She did it in front of the disciples, in front of those people who were looking. My question to us, does our worship cost us anything? Does our serving Jesus cost us anything? If it's convenient for us, if it's convenient for our lifestyle, is that when we're going to serve Jesus? What are people going to think if I walk down to the altar? What are people going to think if I share Jesus with my coworkers? What are people going to think? I want you to just try something right now. Say this with me. I don't care. That's hard for a lot of us. I know there's times we've got to care about, there's things we've got to care about. When it comes to Jesus, though, the Bible says if we're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of us. I don't want to be ashamed of Jesus. Are there any Christians here who will stand up for God in the face of a den of lions? What about a fiery furnace? What about a little mockery? What about persecution? God, help us to be willing to let my worship be a little bit costly. Number two, her worship invaded the whole house. The Bible says the fragrance filled the whole house. Does anybody else know that I love Jesus? When I serve Jesus, does it go beyond me and my mirror? Can others tell that I am a Christian? Do my friends at school know that there's something different about me? What kind of fragrance am I sharing? And I'm not just talking about locker room body odor. But I pray that Freedom Church sends out an army of believers into their workplace, into their schools, into their homes, smelling like heavenly presence. Spreading the fragrance of the kingdom of God. We've got a lot of foul-smelling people. I'm not talking about right here. Not talking about physical foul smelling, but people smell like sin, death, and the grave. I think it's time we invade the stinky smelling world with the fragrance of Jesus. Yeah. Amen? Let your worship invade the house, the church house, your home, your car. May somebody see you driving down down the road just worshiping Jesus. I mean, we hear a lot of times people blaring it up, the bass thumping. What if we heard some people praising Jesus going down the street? Amen? Invade your school with the worship of Jesus. The third point, her worship got the attention of others. The Bible says that Judas began to criticize her. This perfume could have been sold and given to the poor. Doesn't that sound spiritual? We could have done so much more with this. I mean, it sounds dignified. It sounds spiritual. But I want to tell you something. The Bible calls it right for what it is. He didn't care about the poor. He wanted to steal from the money. He wanted it to be sold so he could reach in and steal. Right. Side note, when people criticize you, don't always believe what they say on the surface is true. They might be criticizing you because they're jealous. Did Judas ever wipe Jesus' feet? Did Judas ever worship Jesus like that? Did Judas ever do that for Jesus? He might have said it out of jealousy. He might have looked at her and despised her. When you see somebody worshiping, when you see somebody giving their all to Jesus, you might say, it doesn't take all that. There's no need to go to the altar. There's no need to raise your... There's no need to cry. There's no need to sing like that. But let me tell you, when your heart has been touched by Jesus, when Jesus has done so much for you, when Mary's sitting there looking at Lazarus raised from the dead, she was overwhelmed by the goodness of God. Yes. Hallelujah. Maybe we forgot in the church what God has done for us. Maybe when we look and say, why did that person have to be that crazy? Maybe we forgot how much Jesus has saved us from. Amen. Hallelujah. How many remember what it's like to have your life a complete mess on your way to hell? Come on. Hallelujah. Hasn't God been good to you? Hallelujah. Yes. I mean, you're not on your way to hell anymore, Miss Renee. You're on your way to heaven. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I love the fact that sometimes there are moments that the worship and the overwhelming presence of gratefulness just becomes so good that we have to do something about it.
Yes.
You don't have to make a spectacle of yourself, Mary. You're just bringing attention to yourself, Mary. Mary, you are just trying to make it all about you. Mary, you're just making a show. Not only did it get the attention of the critics, but it got Jesus' attention. Hallelujah. Jesus said, leave her alone. Look at somebody and say, leave her alone. Leave her alone. Let her continue to worship.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but there's something special. Especially, I've seen it before, when there are ladies that God touches. I've seen it before. When my wife begins to pray, when she begins to worship, she doesn't know I'm going to talk about this, and I'm not going to say too much because that'll be strike number three against me today. Not against her. I'm talking about calling people out. Thank you, brother. But I remember many times early on when we were first married, we'd have prayer meetings on Monday night. And she would come into that little church where we were at, and she would just begin to cry out to the Lord. And I remember thinking, why in the world is she just so loud? Why is she so passionate? But I want you to know God was doing something in her that I could never do for her. God was meeting her in a place. And I want to tell you, man, when my wife worships, it's awesome. Leave her alone. Look what Jesus says. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed. 2,000 years later, we are still remembering what this woman did for Jesus. When she got out of her comfort zone, when she got out of everybody's way, when she began to stop thinking about what anybody else cared, she got Jesus' attention. Has God been good to you? Is he worth worshiping? Do you need a miracle from Jesus? I don't know where you're at today. I don't know the reason you're here. I don't know the condition of your life. Jesus does, and you do. But maybe today, you could take and lay all that aside and pour your love upon Jesus. We're going to sing that song again. Like oil on your feet, like wine for you to drink, like water from my heart, I pour my love on you. And what I'm going to ask you to do is, I want you to bring your life, your past, your hurts, the celebration, wherever stage you're at right now. And I want you just to say, God, just for a few moments, I'm going to give my all to you. And if there's hurts, if there's fears, I want you to lay that aside and give it to Jesus. And we're just going to say, Lord, I pour my love on you. I'm going to ask you to stand. Before we sing that, let me pray over you. Father, I just thank you for everybody here today. Maybe there's somebody here. Maybe there's somebody here who has been going through it. They've been going through the pain. They've been going through life. And Lord, today they just need a breakthrough. They just need to sit at your feet and be in your presence. Or maybe there's somebody here that just wants to worship you with everything they've got. Lord, I pray as we just end this service in a time of worship, I pray that if there's someone here that doesn't know you, Jesus, that they will give their life to you. Well, everybody's head is bowed. Eyes are closed. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Perry, my life is not right with you. My life is not right with Jesus. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Is there anybody here? I want to pray with you today. Today is a day to give your life to Jesus. Today is a day to surrender everything to him. Anybody here? Is there anybody here? Now I'm going to ask this. Everybody look right up here. Maybe you're here today and you've got things in your life. You've got things going on. You've got things you want to get rid of. You got things that you just want to talk to the Lord about. I'm going to ask you to take a bold step forward. I'm going to ask you just to find a place around this altar as we begin to sing this song, and let's just pour it out on Jesus. Jesus can do more for you in a moment. In a moment. I'm going to ask you to surrender it all to Jesus. Come on, let's sing this and worship Him just for a few moments. Pour it out.